Chapter 12. It was already a new year, 1948. Rose decided it was time to return to Cleveland, and then perhaps back home. Abby was clearly exhausted. Rose was getting more discouraged with each passing day. Abby's seizures had become more frequent. After each seizure, she held her in her arms and cleaned up her vomit without a word, as if it never happened. The worsening symptoms made it clear Abby had had enough of traveling. Rose hadn't spoken to Harry in weeks, and she'd missed Natty's 15th birthday. They'd go back to Cleveland, rest, and figure out the next steps. Rose called Harry from the apartment in Cleveland. "We're coming home, Harry," she said without preamble. "I hope to leave in the next couple of weeks." "You promised you wouldn't stay long this time, Rose. I haven't heard from you in weeks. Natty told me you and Abby missed her birthday." "How could you miss her birthday, Rose? And what about Natty seeing boys and going to the movies with them? Do you meet these boys and make sure they're treating her well? Have you taught her how forward boys can be? Are you protecting her, Rose? Sometimes I think you forget you have two daughters." Harry's voice came across as weak and thin. "I didn't call to argue. I called to give you good news. We're coming home. Don't worry about coming to meet us. I'll call Laura." Then after a long pause, remembering Harry was ill, she asked, "How are you, Harry?" "I'm sick, Rose. Sick in body and sick in mind. But the new gardening store helps distract me. I wish Irving had been my bookkeeper. That louse I hired kept two sets of books. I'd like to get my hands on him. He walked away with our profits from the Army-Navy store." "Did the cops find him?" "No, he's too smart for the cops. We'll never see that money again. I'm sorry, Rose," he said softly. "Well, there's nothing to be done now, Harry. You can't trust anyone anymore. Anyway, the Army-Navy stores have had their run. People love gardening, especially now when they can do it for fun, not to have something to eat. It's not even spring yet. You'll see, Harry, the customers will start streaming in," crooned Rose, trying to give Harry some hope. "Thanks, Rose. Well, I'll see you soon. Drop me a line when you know which train," he answered, trying to echo her cheerfulness. "I love you, Rose," he said, hanging up the phone when all he heard was silence. Rose and the girls arrived home on a cold February day, having spent almost 2 days on the Lackawanna due to heavy snow on the tracks. They had been freezing the entire time because the Lackawanna didn't heat their passenger cars. The railroad made its money from freight, and freight didn't care about the temperature. Rose had borrowed a couple of wool blankets from Sylvia. Gladys had given them some extra food, anticipating problems with the weather. The three of them huddled together on the hard seat, watching their breath in the cold air. They didn't talk much on this trip, trying unsuccessfully to sleep. Natty watched the snow fall outside the train window. She missed licking the snow off the front porch railing at home, but then thought she was probably too old for that now. The snow in the fields looked so pure and clean, unlike the seats and floor of the train car. Abby'd had two incidents already, urinating on the floor of the car. The stench mixed with the smell of passengers sitting too long without baths. The sweat exuded by the obese conductor as he waddled up and down the aisle. And spoiled food. Abby managed a change in the tiny train bathroom after the first incident, but had to sit in wet clothes after the second. Rose gave Abby one of their blankets so she didn't get too chilled. Abby tried to push the damp, urine-smelling blanket onto Natty, but Natty scooted away from her or got up to walk in the aisle. From time to time, Abby whispered in Natty's ear, "Snakes are probably in this train car. I bet they're squirming under the seats." "I'm going to make you smell like me. You're ugly, Natty. Not beautiful like me." Natty pretended to sleep or opened a book or magazine. There were no open seats, so she couldn't move away unless she walked the aisle. "Mother, can't I go to the next car for some fresh air?" she pleaded, looking askance at Abby. "No, Natty, you might fall or someone might bother you. Some not-so-very-nice people ride this train." "But we're traveling on this train. Does that make us not so nice?" Of course not, but not everyone is like us, replied Mother, who was used to foul smells. I can't take it any more, Mother. I want to get out of here. How much longer? Asked Natty, slumping down onto the hard seat as far away from Abby as she could get. Her mother didn't answer. Natty couldn't remember feeling quite so miserable. Laura picked them up from the train after stopping at the house to drop off food for the family. She wore a black cloth coat with a white rabbit fur collar and matching hat. Natty noticed her shimmering silk stockings and short rubber boots that covered her shoes. Laura was gripping her black patent leather pocketbook in both hands, holding it in front of her as if to protect it from the unwashed mob exiting the train. Her mother practically fell into Laura's arms like a long-lost lover. She had said she was exhausted, but Natty noticed she'd managed to get her hair and clothes into place and apply fresh makeup before exiting the train. Abby followed Mother off the train, jumping onto the platform, barely missing a man coming to meet his family. She didn't apologize, but started running ahead, off the covered portion of the platform, down the platform steps and into the falling snow. Natty, following her, watched Abby plop down hard on the cold, snowy ground. About 3 feet of snow had already fallen. Natty smiled, thinking maybe Abby simply wanted to enjoy the fresh, cold air and rub her face with pure white snow after being on the stuffy train. That was what Natty wanted to do. Instead, Abby burrowed herself into the snow, piling it on, using her hands to scoop it over her head and body as quickly as she could. Once covered, she began to cry loudly and hysterically. Abby was waving her snow-covered arms in the air, screaming unintelligible words. Laura and her mother, preoccupied with embracing and talking, finally heard the screaming and searched for its source. It was a high-pitched sound, more like screeching than screaming, coming in short and long bursts between Abby's attempts to catch her breath. Mother looked mortified. Natty stopped walking toward Abby before she reached the uncovered part of the platform. Laura and Mother ran past her out into the snow. Laura hung back a bit as Mother ran down the steps and engulfed Abby in her arms, gathering all the snow to her bosom as Abby fell into her chest. Other people began to gather around them, asking if they could help. Hearing them, Abby stopped screaming. Her eyes became muffled sobs into Mother's coat. Rose half carried, half pushed Abby through the throng as she murmured soft, reassuring words in Abby's ear. Mother took Abby into the station bathroom while Laura and Natty waited. They emerged with Abby's hair combed and clothes straightened. The snow had been brushed off. Abby's face was dry but pale. She was no longer crying, but her whole body was trembling slightly. Maybe from the cold, thought Natty, and maybe from embarrassment. Mother led Abby to Laura's car as Natty and Laura followed. The ride home was elegant but quiet, except for the slush of cars passing through the snow. When they arrived, Mother murmured, "Thank you, Laura, for everything. I'll call you tomorrow." Then she bundled Abby, who didn't resist, out of the car and into the house. Natty, exiting the car behind her mother and sister, also thanked Laura, who shook her head as if in pity as she drove down Chester Street, where children were still out playing in the early dusk.